Sean smiled to himself and turned that idea over in his head. A firewall. He could construct a firewall spell that would not allow any contact, any connections to him at all. He could then add exceptions to it, he was sure, if it turned out there were any connections that he wanted to allow, just like a firewall on a computer. Concentrating on his watch, he opened up his classroom and started to look through the Hidden Ways spellbook. Sean saw the same basic format of the protection from scrying spell he'd used applied over and over again on those spells that focused on hiding yourself or aspects about you from those trying to view them magically or remotely. It could definitely work. Feeling himself being shaken, Sean closed the book and exited his classroom.
"You sleeping back there?" Jolene asked.
"Sleeping back there what?" Sean smirked.
"Sean," Jolene said.
"Try again." Jolene rolled her eyes to the ceiling and sighed while smiling.
"Hun."
Sean sat up and kissed her, then slid back onto the rear seat. "Better," he chuckled. "And no, I was actually studying scrying spells and how to hide from them. I think I found a better and cheaper way."
"Oh? And what would that be?"
"Firewalls," Sean said with a smirk.
"So, what did you want?"
"We're here,"
Roxy said, turning the car off.
"That soon?" "We've been driving around for 2 hours," Roxy said, looking back at him, now that he was sitting up in the seat. "Don't you have any sense of time while you're studying?"
Sean blushed.
"I sort of got caught up in what I was doing. So, now what?"
"Let's go get breakfast over there,"
Roxy said, and pointed at a cafe that was just opening up for the day's business.
"Then, after we eat, we can go hit the bank."
Sean nodded as his stomach growled.
"Sounds good to me."
"Do all lichens eat this much?"
Jolene asked Roxy.
"He's still filling out. Haven't you noticed the extra muscle on him?"
"Actually, no," Jolene said, looking back at Sean.
"Well, maybe if you weren't forcing me to study so much and gave me some more quality time with teacher, you would,"
Sean said with a wink.
"Yeah, really, Jolene,"
Roxy laughed.
"You need to put your hands on him more."
Sean was rather surprised to see Jolene blush.
I guess I need to do that,"
Jolene ducked her head in agreement.
"Come on, let's go eat,"
Roxy said, and getting out of the car nearly dragged them both inside.
"You're not the only ones who are hungry."
They got to the bank just shortly after it opened.
"Hi, I need to check my safety deposit box,"
Sean said, coming up to one of the tellers.
"Do you have an account with us?"
she asked. Sean nodded and gave her his name and account number.
"That's strange, Mr. Valens. I don't see you listed as having a box."
Sean opened his mouth, but Jolene put her hand on his arm.
"It's a confidential one,"
Jolene said with a smile.
"Could we speak to the bank manager in private, please?"
The teller just nodded and smiled.
"Of course. Please have a seat while I call him."
"What's that all about?"
Sean asked in a whisper as they went over to the seats.
"Just let me deal with him," Jolene smiled.
Sean glanced at Roxy, who just shrugged.
"Sure,"
he said. A few minutes later, a man came over and introduced himself as the bank manager and led them to a private office.
"So, the teller told me you have a safety deposit box with us?"
as he indicated the seats in his office.
"Oh, yes,"
Jolene said, and putting her hand on his arm, she leaned in towards him rather seductively.
"I was hoping you could help us."
Sean noticed that the man's eyes immediately looked down the top of Jolene's open blouse. Sean almost took a step forward, but Roxy put her hand on Sean's arm, stopping him.
"But there aren't any boxes in Mr. Valens's name," the manager said slowly.
"Well, how much would it be to get him one, right now?"
Jolene asked, leaning into him a little breathlessly.
"Oh, for a man with his account balance, I could give him one for free, right now."
"Wait, my—" Sean started, but Roxy shushed him.
"Then let's do that,"
Jolene said, and guided the man to his chair, and then, as he sat down, she sat right in his lap. Sean started to growl, and Roxy stepped on his foot.
"Shut up, Sean,"
Roxy growled softly in his ear. Sean stilled himself, but he honestly did not like seeing Jolene throwing herself at another man. Part of him understood what she was doing, and part of him was contemplating serious violence as his woman flirted with another man.
"Okay, Mr. Valens," the manager said, pulling out some forms. "Please put your name and home address in here and sign these here, and then we can go get you a key."
Sean looked at the forms while picking a pen up off the desk. Using his mom's address, as it was the one on his driver's license, he quickly filled out the forms and signed them, handing them back to the manager as he restrained an impulse to do something to the man, as Jolene was getting quite comfortable in his lap. The oddest part about it, Sean realized after a moment, was that the man didn't even seem to realize Jolene was there.
"Good. All this is in order," he said,
and standing up, he steered them out of his office and into the back of the bank. Jolene stood nearby him the entire time, but wasn't touching him anymore. The manager then led them into a vault, which was full of hundreds of small metal drawers, with two key slots on each one. Going to a drawer, he took out a set of keys and gave one of them to Sean, and then led Sean over to one of the rows.
"Box A62, put your key in the right side lock."
Sean did as instructed, and the manager took a second key that was on his key ring and put it in the lock on the left side.
"All boxes take two keys to open as part of our security," he told Sean as he unlocked his side,
and Sean unlocked the other, and sliding the box out, he handed it to Sean.
"You don't need any keys to put the box back in, and there are a couple of small tables just outside the vault if you want to view the box contents in private."
He pointed back towards the entrance. Jolene put her hand on the man, who stopped a moment.
"Put the box away and ask him to show you again," she whispered. "But use the other key this time."
Sean just nodded and put the box back in the wall, letting it lock back in place, and then getting out the key he'd inherited from Samson, he looked at it. There was a small number that he hadn't paid attention to before. A23. It only took a moment to find the box, and he stuck the key in and unlocked the right side.
"Could you open it again for me, please?" Sean asked. "I just want to be sure I'm doing it right."
The bank manager looked at Sean and nodded.
"Of course."
He put his key in the left side lock and unlocked that one as well.
"Thank you,"
Sean said, and pulled out the box.
"You're more than welcome. Is there anything else I can do for you today?"
"What's my current cash balance?"
Sean asked, wondering again about that earlier remark.
$273,143.00.
Sean's eyes got wide, and he looked at Jolene, who shook her head.
"Could I take out $25,000 in cash, please?"
"Of course. May I inquire as to why?"
"Lawyer bill. He only takes cash,"
Sean told him reflexively.
"Of course. I'll have your money when you're ready to leave."
Sean nodded and watched him go.
"I thought you were broke,"
Roxy asked, peering at him.
"It wasn't anything I did," Jolene told the two of them. "I just made him think he was opening Sean's box. Nothing more than that."
"Samson's money,"
Sean told them.
"Remember, Roxy? The lawyer said he'd put Samson's money in my bank account."
"I thought you said Samson was poor,"
Roxy replied.
"Yeah, I did. Maybe we should stop by the lawyer's on the way out of here."
"Good point. Now, what's in the box?"
"Oh, right,"
Sean said, and opening the box, he looked in it. There were two envelopes, and pulling those out, he quickly stuffed them inside his vest. There was also an old Colt 1911, loaded with an extra magazine, a small but heavy bag of coins that Sean just stuck in his pants pocket, and a blue velvet jewelry box, which Sean put in his other pants pocket.
"What should I do with the gun?"
"Take it, of course,"
Roxy grinned. Rolling his eyes, Sean stuck it in one of the lower side pockets of his cargo pants, hoping that it wasn't too obvious. Then, closing the safe deposit box up, he put it back in the slot.
"One sec,"
Jolene said, and stopping him before he slid it back in. As Sean watched, she did a quick spell of some sort, and then, using the back of her hand, she slid it in until it locked.
What was that?
Getting rid of fingerprints, she smiled, just in case. Sean shrugged and looked at Roxy, who also shrugged.
Well, let's get my money, and then let's go talk to my lawyer.
Aren't you going to look at any of that stuff?
Jolene asked.
Yeah, Roxy said. After all of this, aren't you curious?
Of course I am, Sean said, a little nervously. But I'd rather do it in the car, after we're away from here. If anyone else knows about the bank, I'd rather not be here when they arrive. The girls both nodded, and heading out, the manager had a receipt for Sean to sign, and then handed him two banded stacks of $100 bills, and then counted out another 50.
Thanks,
Sean said, and they quickly hustled out of the bank, and getting into the car, Roxy drove, with Sean in the back again.
So, what is everything?
Jolene asked. Sean got out the envelopes first, and started to go through them.
The first one is Samson's citizenship papers, naturalization documents, an old green card, birth certificate, what looks like the title to his trailer, the rental agreement, and the titles to his car and his motorcycle.
The second one... Sean stopped and sighed.
Well, now I know where most of the money came from. It's his life insurance policy.
Oh.
Jolene sighed and reached back to pat his hand.
So, what's in the box?
Roxy asked. Pulling the box out, Sean opened it.
What is it?
Roxy asked from up front.
It's a chain, he said, and pulling it out, he looked at it. A necklace,
Sean corrected. It was a heavy chain necklace made of some brownish, non-reflective metal with a very complicated clasp. Halfway around from the clasp, there was a stone set in it. A tiger's eye.
It's a heavy chain necklace with a tiger's eye stone in it.
What?
Roxy said, and pulled over to the side of the street, stopping immediately.
Let me see that.
Sean shrugged and passed it forward and watched, curious, as Roxy looked it over.
I don't believe it,
Roxy said.
I've heard about these, but I've never seen one.
What is it?
Jolene asked.
Yeah, what is it, hon?
It's a lichen necklace. You have to be someone pretty important to get one of these. Most mages and wizards only give them out to their most loyal servants. They're supposed to be very hard to make.
That still doesn't tell me what it does, hon,
Sean prodded gently.
When you shift, it doesn't. It won't catch on anything, and can't be seen easily through the fur.
My clothes don't shift either,
Sean pointed out.
Put it on and shift,
Roxy told him.
Trust me, you'll want it.
I'd rather not have to worry about my clothes right now,
Sean chuckled.
That's the point,
Roxy laughed.
You won't have to. They'll resize to fit you. And when you go full lion, they disappear.
Roxy passed the chain back to Sean and pulled away from the curb.
Put it on, Sean,
Roxy told him.
It's yours now, and you definitely need it.
Sean looked at it. It took a minute to figure out how the clasp worked, and once he did, he put it around his neck.
Why would Samson put something like this in a safety deposit box?
Sean wondered out loud.
Because it's worth a couple $100,000 to any lichen who doesn't have one,
Roxy sighed.
Which is most of them.
Sean blinked.
Then why didn't he sell it?
I can give you three guesses, and the first two don't count.
Huh?
Your dad, Sean. Your dad probably gave it to him. Alchemists are the ones who make lichen necklaces. If your dad made that for him, well, selling it would have been like giving up his own child.
Huh,
Sean said, and thought about that.
I wonder how hard these are to make.
No idea,
Roxy said. Sean looked at Jolene, who was watching him.
Don't ask me, Jolene shrugged. I'm not an alchemist or an enchanter. Don't you have a book on enchanting in your head somewhere?
Sean stopped and thought about that a moment.
Actually, yeah, I think I do.
Oh! Sean stopped and dug out the money in his pocket. Opening up one of the banded stacks of hundreds, he counted off 50 and handed it to Jolene.
Here, take that.
Jolene looked up at the money and then gave Sean a look that wasn't at all friendly.
Are you trying to buy me, Sean?
Sean snorted. Didn't you hear the growling when you sat in that guy's lap? I already own you, hon.
Sean winked at Jolene as her expression went from pissed to surprised, followed by embarrassed in half a second.
That's just walking around money. Can't let one of my women go walking around broke, now can I?
Hey, where's mine?
Roxy laughed from the front seat. Sean reached around and set the other half of the stack on Roxy's lap, which Roxy scooped up with a free hand and quickly stuck it in her pocket.
I think you broke her,
Roxy chuckled and tipped her head towards Jolene. Sean looked at Jolene, who was looking at him with a wide-eyed expression of disbelief.
I think you're right, Sean agreed.
Oh, come on, Jolene, just admit it. You haven't slept with anyone other than Sean since Wednesday, or I'd have smelled them on you. That's got to be a record for you. 5 whole days of monogamy.
Jolene sighed, turned back around to face forward in the passenger seat, and stuck the money into her pants pocket like Roxy had, instead of her purse.
You are an evil man, Sean.
Yes, but you love me anyway.
Sean grinned, and leaning forward, he kissed the back of her head.
Yes, yes I do,
Jolene sighed and smiled.
Well, we're here,
Roxy said, and pulling off the street, she parked the car.
Sean, this is a surprise,
Anthony Barton said, looking up as Sean, Roxy, and Jolene entered the room.
What brings you here?
Well, last Thursday someone blew up Samson's house, my mother's house, and set fire to the place I was living at.
Barton nodded.
I heard about Samson's and your mother's. A Detective Schumer called me. Says he's been trying to talk to you, but that you seem to have disappeared. I told him I hadn't heard from you.
Sean nodded.
Yeah, there are a lot of people looking for me, and well, none of them are good. But I've been thinking, and as I've become a very suspicious person the last few days, I started to wonder just why did Samson hire you? Of all the people he could have hired.
I'm afraid that would be confidential between me and Samson. I'm sorry, Sean.
Sean nodded again, and pulling out the last banded bundle of $100 bills, he set it on Barton's desk.
There's $10,000 there. Thank you for transferring Samson's insurance money. So now you're on retainer, and you're working for me. I cleaned out his safety deposit box, and I've got the one thing that apparently mattered to him.
Sean reached under his shirt and showed Barton the chain.
So, I'd appreciate a little frank talk here.
Barton looked at Sean and sighed.
I tried to get him to sell that once, you know. The money from it would have definitely made his life and yours, as well as your mother's, a lot easier.
So you knew what Samson was?
Sean asked. Barton nodded.
I came here from Angola with Samson. He saved my life and the lives of my 2 younger sisters. He went to work for your father. I went to college and then law school. Because I was one of the few mundanes who knew about lichens, magic users, and all the rest, I was able to set up a pretty good practice helping them when they ran afoul of the law.
Barton snorted.
The ones that care about our laws, that is. So when everything suddenly went bad for your family, Samson enlisted my help and I became his attorney.
Then you knew about my father's murder?
Sean growled.
No. Until you came in here and mentioned it, I had no idea. I never knew your father, Sean. I only met him once when he paid for me to represent one of his employees. Samson never told me what happened. He wasn't one to talk much about things he considered private.
Who warded this room?
Jolene asked suddenly.
Oh, Sean said. This is Jolene. She's with me.
Samson beat you, didn't he?
Barton said, shaking his head.
You know about lion wares?
They were pretty common back in Angola. At least, they were. I don't know anymore.
Barton turned to Jolene.
One of my clients took care of it for me. He also warded my house and gave me a bracelet to wear that keeps others from spying on me. He was rather worried about others eavesdropping on our conversations dealing with his legal issues.
Jolene sighed.
Sawyer, right?
You know him?
Barton looked surprised.
For a goblin who hates humans, he sure seems to do a lot of business with them.
Roxy laughed. He understands the realities of doing business. That's all, Barton chuckled. As a businessman, like it or not, he has to deal with human laws. I'm not a magic user, which is a plus in his book. I know and work with lichens fairly often, another plus, and am a licensed lawyer with a local practice who can appear on his behalf. So, Barton said, looking at Sean, why did you come here?
I want you to deal with the police and any mundane legal matters I may have, Anthony. Sooner or later, I'm going to have trouble with the police because of all the crap that's falling on my head right now. Also, I need someone to deal with the mess that was my mom's house and Samson's house. And last of all, if I end up in jail, I need someone to bail my ass out before the people after me blow it up.
That's a tall order, and it could get pretty expensive, you know.
I have $250,000 in the bank, Sean pointed out.
A lot more expensive than that. Barton grimaced and shook his head. There are people in the legal system, or rather, in the court system, who know who and what lichens and supernaturals are. They're willing to look the other way, but it's not very cheap.
I know how to make more of these necklaces, Sean said with a smile.
Oh? Barton paused and then, oh, well, once you start making them, I know a number of wealthy individuals who would be more than happy to buy them.
Really?
I always kept a few on the line in case Samson ever decided to sell his. Barton shrugged. I owed him. That's why he came to me whenever he needed legal help.
Barton pulled out a piece of paper and set it on the desk, then took the stack of bills and put it in the open desk drawer before closing it.
Now that's an official document making it clear that you've retained me and that I have power of attorney. Sign it, and I'll take care of everything.
Sean nodded, and picking up a pen on the desk, he did so.
Don't call Schumer back, and don't call me. My phones are probably tapped.
Isn't that illegal?
Barton laughed. This is Reno, Sean. Illegal rarely stops anyone.
He's right, Roxy sighed. There's always a judge willing to sign anything in this state, for the right reasons.
Barton nodded. And then they just argue about it in court later. If you need to tell me something, send me a letter, snail mail, or by messenger service if it's urgent.
Mail? You mean regular mail?
Yup. Anyone messes with that, and the U.S. government will be all over you. They take a dim view of it still. But honestly, not that many people even consider it anymore. Plus, it can't be traced.
Sean nodded. Good point. How will you contact me?
I'll tell Sawyer if it's urgent, but if I need to contact you, odds are I'll know where you are at that point.
Barton paused a moment and then added,
oh, they found Samson's motorcycle. It was parked near where that van crashed last week. The police towed it, thinking it was an abandoned vehicle.
Where do you want it?
Stored at Bryson's garage. Tell Steve, the manager there, that it was Samson's, and now it's mine. He'll take care of it.
Did they find his car?
Barton shook his head. No, they didn't. And that's rather peculiar.
Sean closed his eyes a moment.
Have they found my mother yet?
No, which is a good thing. It makes it more likely that she's still alive, Sean.
Thanks,
Sean sighed.
Well, I'll be going.
Good luck, Sean.
Yeah, I'll be needing it. So, now what?
Roxy asked as they got back into the car.
Back home for now, I guess.
Sean sighed and then smiled.
Maybe Jolene can spend some time checking out my new muscles.
Chaos.
Sean was lying on the bed, or more appropriately, lying on top of Jolene. It was late, and he'd been making love to the girls since before the sun went down, when he heard it.
What was that?
Roxy asked, sitting up quickly. Shit. Sean swore. Get dressed. And giving Jolene a kiss, he dismounted rather quickly, and grabbing his pants, he pulled them on, then grabbing his holster, he put that on next. Gather our stuff up. I'll go check it out. Sean growled and shifted into his hybrid form. Running over to the fire exit, he stopped and listened. He could hear it. There were people coming up the stairs. Grabbing the door, he looked around and saw Roxy, also in hybrid form, with her gun out. Check the other staircase, Sean whispered. Roxy nodded and ran off. Drawing his gun, Sean carefully cracked the door open. No one was at the top floor yet, but they were close. Sticking the gun in the doorway, he let the door carefully close onto the slide, then using his body to block any light from the small opening, he just waited. They came around the last corner then, and there were a lot of them, and they were all wearing body armor, helmets, and goggles. They stopped at the bottom of the last flight of stairs, in clear view, and the front man made a hand signal to the rest, then held up his hand, fingers open, and started closing them one at a time as the others all got ready. Sean shot him in the face when he got to three, and then emptied all 8 shots in the magazine into the first 5 guys, trying for headshots on each. At least 2 more dropped before the slide on his pistol locked open. He could hear Roxy opening up at the opposite end of the building then as well. That wasn't good. Backing away from the door as the people in the stairwell returned fire, he changed magazines quickly and ran back to the room. Jolene was dressed and was shoving stuff into Roxy's backpack. Let's go, Sean said, and grabbed his own and slung it on his back as Roxy skidded into the room. Looking around, there was still some of their clothes in the room, and the bed was rather sticky, to put it mildly. Can you set this on fire? Sean asked Jolene. Easily, she smiled. Torch it. I don't want them having anything of ours to track me or identify you. Sure. Jolene tossed the backpack to Roxy, who caught it easily, and slung it on her back.
Where to?
Roxy asked, looking around.
Elevators, and quickly, before they get their act together, Sean growled,
and sticking his head out of the doorway, he took a couple shots back towards the door to the stairwell, Roxy doing the same as he felt a sudden wash of heat behind him.
Come on,
Sean said, grabbing Jolene and taking off for the elevators. Only 2 of the 4 elevators in the building ran all the way up to the top penthouse floor. Sean pried the doors open to one of them rather easily, while Roxy picked off anyone trying to sneak up on them. The moment Sean got the door open, however, gunfire came up the shaft, forcing him back. As both shafts were connected, trying the other one was pointless.
How far can we fall and survive the impact?
Sean asked as he quickly moved over to the other end of the elevator alcove and started watching out for anyone coming from the other side, from the other stairway. This wasn't good at all. Other than the elevators and the stairways, there weren't any other ways down.
Not this high, and Jolene would never make it.
Shit,
Sean swore. And just then someone popped their head out as he watched, ducking back quickly as Sean took a shot at them, missing and hitting the plaster just behind where their head had been.
Damn, Roxy swore. They're moving in from this end. Now what?
Both stairwells blocked. Elevators blocked.
Sean mumbled and tried to remember just how many ways there were up to the penthouses.
Keep setting fires,
he mumbled to Jolene, and the next time the guy popped his head out, Sean nailed him, the guy's brains making a nice red and chunky mess on the wall behind him.
Man, housekeeping is gonna...
Housekeeping, Sean realized. There was a separate service elevator at the north end of the tower, behind the other stairwell. They'd just have to fight their way to it. Sticking his hand in the lower cargo pocket, the other pistol was still there. Ripping it out, he took it in his left hand and stuck the magazine in his waistband.
Listen up, Sean said in a low voice. We have to fight our way past the guys at this end. I'll go first. Roxy, cover our rear. Jolene, keep your head down and wait until I clear things out.
Wait, what?
Roxy asked.
What are you doing?
No time,
Sean said. And charging out of cover, he started to take shots with the pistol in his left hand to keep their heads down, while aiming with the one in his right. Coming around the corner, there were 8 of them, and they were all well-armed and armored.
Sean shot the ones at the back of the group first, as they weren't holding guns, and he had no idea just what magic might do to him. However, while he was shooting them, the ones in front opened up on him. The pain was excruciating. His chest lit up with fire, and suddenly he lost the use of his right eye. Roaring in pain, he just dropped the pistols and grabbed the man in front of him and ripped his head off. The next man he disemboweled with a rake of his foot claws, his foot having come up under the man's armor when Sean kicked him, as his whole upper body and arms burned with pain like fire. The two at the back had dropped from his shots, and the four in the middle panicked as they suddenly realized that their buddies were dying. One of them shot the man in front of him as he peed himself. Sean just grabbed the man before him and bit his face off, then threw him at the two who were now the only ones left standing. One of those two suddenly blossomed into a human torch and screamed loudly as the last one, who had started gibbering, just stood there frozen as Sean punched him in the throat, causing him to choke and collapse.
"Sean!"
Jolene cried out in shock.
"Sean! They shot Sean! It's bad!"
Sean fell to his knees and gasped for breath. Everything hurt, especially his right eye, which felt like a red-hot poker had been stuck in it.
"Pick up his gun," Roxy growled at Jolene as she came around the corner. "Was any of it silver?" Roxy growled in his ear.
"How can you tell?"
Sean gasped, and then coughed up a bunch of blood and something hard and solid. Spitting it out, he saw bullets hit the floor.
"It feels like your soul is on fire," Roxy grunted, lifting him up. "Set everything on fire here, Jolene. Cremate the bodies and follow me."
"That way,"
Sean motioned with his right arm, which had large pieces of flesh now hanging from it. He could even see the bone in spots. Roxy dragged him to the hallway that the stairs opened out onto, firing a couple of shots that way to keep anyone else's heads down, then moved him past the opening as Jolene sprinted by to keep up.
"Now what?"
"Housekeeping," Sean said, as blurry vision started to return to his right eye.
Roxy nodded and kicked in the door.
"The service elevator?"
Jolene said, coming in the door behind them.
"No one ever thinks about it."
Sean nodded and leaned up against the wall, leaving a bloody smear as Roxy went over and pried the doors open.
"Well, no one is shooting at us. I'll go down first,"
Roxy said, and jumping into the shaft, grabbed the cable and started to slide down it. Shrugging off his backpack, Sean got his Desert Eagle back from Jolene and stuck it back in the holster after releasing the slide. He'd need to reload magazines later.
"On my back,"
he grunted, and standing up, he bent over a bit as Jolene scrambled up on his back and wrapped her arms around his neck. Picking up his pack, he grabbed one of the straps with his teeth, and then just jumped into the shaft, and grabbing the cable, he started to slide down as well. The pain from his hands was tremendous, and with his body still healing from all the bullet wounds, Sean could tell that he was quickly approaching the limits of his healing power.
"Can you do anything about my hands?" he growled, dropping the backpack.
"Not until we get to the bottom. Sorry, hon."
Sean just nodded and growled. By the time they got to the bottom of the shaft, Roxy had opened the trap door on the top of the elevator and, grabbing his backpack, had jumped down inside. Sean followed, a lot slower, his bloody hands making it difficult for him to grip anything.
"We're in the basement,"
Roxy said softly, as Sean followed her out of the elevator. Jolene slipped off his back and started casting something.
"What's that?"
Roxy asked.
"I'm feeding some of his power back into him,"
Jolene panted, and then put her hands on Sean, causing his whole body to light up with a hot, but not uncomfortable, feeling, and causing him to sway a moment.
"And now, I'm spent,"
Jolene sighed and sagged a bit. Sean blinked his eyes. He could see just fine now. Grabbing Jolene, he tossed her over his shoulder, and looking behind him, he saw a couple of bloody lichen paw prints from his hybrid form. Using his bare feet, he quickly smeared them up, and then headed off towards the sub-basement.
"Where are we going?"
Roxy asked.
"Sewers," Sean growled.
"You're kidding me,"
Roxy said, and made a face at him.
"I don't want to go back upstairs, do you?"
"Not really,"
Roxy sighed.
"Sewers it is."
They got to the entrance before any of them heard anyone entering the basement from above. Of course, the sounds of the fire alarms that were now going off on the floors above and throughout the building could be drowning them out.
"Do you think they know where we're going?"
Sean grunted, and wrinkled his nose as he opened the accessway to the sewers. "I'm sure they'll figure it out soon enough," Jolene murmured from on his back. "I'd ask you to put me down, but right now, I don't want to be stepping in what you two are."
"Lucky you,"
Roxy said, and shifted back to her human form.
"At least like this, it doesn't smell as bad."
Stepping into the sewers behind her, Sean closed the hatch behind him, and then shifted as well. While the smell was definitely more bearable this way, the feelings of what he was stepping on with his bare feet was not.
"Which way?"
"Upstream,"
Sean grunted.
"Why?"
"Because this place is gonna get flooded when the water from the sprinklers kicks in."
"Oh."
They walked the next half hour or so in silence. That was only broken when Sean coughed up another bullet, followed by the sound of him spitting it out. When they finally stopped, it was by a metal rung ladder that ran up to a manhole cover.
"Damn, how many of those are you going to cough up?"
Jolene asked, as Sean paused halfway up the ladder to spit out another one.
"Oh, trust me, he's going to be crapping them out later tonight as well,"
Roxy grumbled from above them on the ladder.
"The body pushes them out to the closest space, and if you don't spit them out, you crap them out."
"You've seen it with your dad?"
Sean asked.
"No, I've experienced it personally, which is why I don't let myself get shot anymore,"
Roxy growled. Sean winced at that tone of voice, and even his lion wanted nothing to do with that statement.
Yeah,
Jolene said from her spot between the two of them on the ladder.
"Okay, let's see where we are,"
Roxy grunted, and pushed the manhole cover up and over.
"Better check your ward," Jolene warned.
Sean paused and did just that, recasting his spell. The one from this morning had weakened from the drain on his system, though it was still going. He'd really have to work on that firewall spell he was thinking about, as it wouldn't take any real energy at all.
"Looks like we're in a neighborhood,"
Roxy said, and then pulled herself out of the manhole.
"Hurry up. Let's get out of here before a car comes,"
Roxy said, and reaching down, she grabbed Jolene's arm and pulled her up out of the hole, with Sean scrambling out behind her. Replacing the cover, Sean took his backpack from Roxy and sighed. It was covered in dried blood and pretty badly shot up.
"So, where are we?"
Jolene asked, looking around as they moved out of the street and onto the sidewalk.
"The sign says Carlin Street,"
Roxy said, pointing at the street sign as they came up to the intersection.
"If we go south," Sean pointed, "we can get to the river and clean off all this blood and..."
Sean looked at his bare and very filthy feet.
"Crap."
"Or we can go to the Gateway Inn back that way,"
Jolene pointed, smiling,
"and get a nice clean room with a shower and hot water."
"If I walk in there like this,"
Sean sighed,
"they'll call the police."
"They have balconies. I get a room, you two can jump up."
"Well..."
"They have on-site laundry,"
Jolene pointed out.
"I don't..." "Ow!"
Sean stopped and looked at Roxy, who had just kicked him.
"Let's go. I want to get clean,"
Roxy growled. 15 minutes later, they had a room on the third floor. Jolene had paid cash up front and told Roxy and Sean later that the guy at the front desk had seen her here before. He thought she was a working girl. And as she had tipped him well, he'd keep his mouth shut and not call the police or his boss if he discovered extra people in her room.
"You two hit the showers first,"
Jolene said, wrinkling her nose and pointing at the bathroom the moment Sean and Roxy stepped through the sliding door from the balcony. Roxy growled a little, surprising Sean, but he kept his mouth shut and just followed her inside. Not saying anything as Roxy got the water adjusted, grabbed the soap, and then stepped into the shower with Sean following.
"Let me scrub your back,"
Sean said as she started soaping herself up. Roxy passed him the soap, but didn't say anything. And as soon as she was done, she stepped out of the shower and started drying herself off. Sean took a couple of minutes longer, and then getting out and drying himself off, he walked out into the bedroom. Roxy was standing there, tapping her foot, with a towel wrapped around her. Sean sighed.
"What?"
She kicked him in the shin, and as he went, "Ow," she hit him across the chin with a right cross that staggered him back against the wall. She'd hit him harder than Dean. In a low, quiet, and very growly voice, Roxy took a step forward and got right into his face.
Sean Valence, if you ever, ever do something that stupid again, I promise you that you will not only never touch me again, but that I will personally dig you up out of whatever hole they stick your body in and beat the ever-loving shit out of you into the next 5 lives. Do you understand me?
Sean blinked.
What the hell did I do?
He gasped, grabbing his jaw. He could feel the bones re-knitting. She'd broken it. Roxy grabbed the chain around his neck and yanked his face down to hers. His lion had just started to growl, and she cut that off, too.
And don't you dare growl at me. I'm your damn wife, your woman, your mate. If you go off and do harebrained stupid shit, you had damn well better expect to face the music. Do you hear me? And that goes for your lion, too. Understand?
Sean mutely nodded his head. He'd never seen Roxy so angry before, and right now it was all focused directly on him. Even his lion had suddenly realized that shutting up and taking it was the prudent thing to do.
Do you know how close you came to dying?
But we regenerate, Sean said, shocked.
Not if they cut your head off, you don't. Do you know how close you came to being taken down? There's a limit to how much damage you can soak up at once. What if one of them had silver? Did you even think of that?
But we were running out of time, Sean said softly. Roxy still had a death grip on the chain. He was surprised it hadn't broken. Obviously, it was made of pretty strong stuff.
We still had enough time for you to tell me what we needed to do and for the two of us to take them on, together. I could have flanked them, and between the two of us, you wouldn't have gotten shot 40 or 50 times. Do you understand what I'm saying, hon?
Taking a deep breath and sighing, Sean nodded. I'm sorry, hon. I panicked. I didn't know what to do. I thought we were trapped, and I was afraid we were all going to die. Sean staggered backwards as Roxy, now sobbing, released the necklace and threw herself at him, and wrapped her arms and legs around him.
You scared me so much.
When Jolene said you were shot, the panic in her voice... I was terrified. I saw all that blood and thought you were dead. Do you have any idea of just how much you mean to me?
Looking down at Roxy, Sean honestly didn't know what to say. Putting his arms around her and holding her tightly, he slowly dropped to his knees and leaned back against the bed, trying to steady himself. His body was completely drained. He could feel it.
I'm sorry, Roxy. I love you utterly, totally, and completely.
Glancing up at Jolene, Sean gave her a weak smile.
You too, Jolene. Don't think you're not a part of this or a part of me either.
Jolene nodded slowly.
I have to say that I was as terrified as Roxy. I know you guys can heal, but, well, you had a big hole in your head where your eye was. It was...
Jolene gulped.
I think I need to use that shower now.
And she ran into the bathroom. Sean just stayed where he was, holding on to Roxy until she stopped sobbing and was just clinging to him.
Let's go to bed, all right, hon?
Sean said to her. Roxy gave a small nod, and carefully getting back to his feet, he carried her over to the bed, and climbing under the covers, he just sighed and relaxed, thinking about what had happened. It could have been the end of him. It probably should have been the end of him, and the girls. Worst of all, he should have known better. He picked a place with no easy escape, no defenses, nothing. He'd been playing RPGs and stuff for ages now, and tactics were tactics. If he'd done those things in a game, made those mistakes, his friends would have teased him for months. Looking down at Roxy, who had fallen asleep while still clinging to him, he realized he'd just been letting events carry him along, and the only thing he had taken charge of was the girls' bodies. Yeah, sex was great, but if he wanted to keep having it, he needed a safe place to protect not only himself, but what was his. When Jolene came out of the bathroom, still damp from her shower, she turned out the lights and slid into bed behind him, cuddling up against his back. The clock on the desk said it was almost 4. Sunrise would be in a few hours, but he didn't have the time to sleep. It was time to start learning, seriously learning. Reaching over Roxy, he grabbed his watch and slipping it on his wrist, he concentrated on the classroom. Learning the rules. The first thing Sean did was to start work on his new firewall spell. He'd need to learn a few things to do it, so he made a list of what each of those things was. Attaching a spell to a body took a little work, but not as much as he had thought. There was a book called Physical Enhancements that allowed one to make changes to your own body. That let him figure out just how to put the firewall on himself. Then, in the Enchanting Ways book, he found ways of making such changes permanent. Visualizing the program, he took the time to work it all out, just like a firewall program, and even gave it the ability to open ports on command, so that Jolene could cast her mind magic on him again if he ever needed to remember something he'd forgotten. When Sean had finally gotten it all figured out, he cast the spell on himself, and banished the warding spell that protected him from scrying, and watched the pings from the scrying spell for a while. There was only one person searching for him this far outside of downtown, and their spell was now blocked. It simply didn't get through to him to cause a response. Smiling, he picked the enchantment book back up and started looking for ways of attaching spells to inanimate objects. That turned out to be easier than attaching a spell to him, but it also took more power, because you had to create a power tap on the object. Magical objects could draw power from several different places, Sean learned. The first was from the person using the item itself. That was fine for non-magical folks, because they couldn't use their magical potential, as small as it might be anyway. But magic users didn't like that, so other ways had been devised. The most common was for a device to recharge by just sucking energy out of the world surrounding it. It was slow to do it that way, however, which explained how some objects could only be used at daily intervals, or even longer if the spell took enough power. The next was to tap the item into a ley line, where it could pick up power at a vastly increased rate. But that also tied it to the line, so it couldn't move. There were magical batteries that you could charge, but they didn't carry much energy and were fairly difficult to construct. And then there were chemical reactions. You could take certain magical compounds and basically decompose them, taking the energy from the decomposition, like, say, when an organic substance was digested. Those objects were similar to batteries, only you didn't recharge them by putting them on a ley line or casting magic into them. You recharged them by filling them with a special substance to be consumed. Almost like a magical gasoline. However, making or finding the proper compounds was neither cheap nor easy. The only hitch he ran across was that when enchanting an item, the quality of the physical item itself had an effect on the quality of the spell. Looking at the chain around his neck, Sean cast an examination spell that he had found in the Enchanting Ways book, and started to look at just how the spells on it had been laid down. And there were spells on it. A lot of spells. Spells to protect the chain itself from rust or wear, or even breaking. Spells for it to slowly suck power from its wearer in minute amounts and store them for later use. There were resizing spells for both the chain and any clothing worn on the user's body, and a storage spell for anything that wouldn't fit when you changed. However, Sean could tell that there were limits to all of these things as well. Sean could see where it would take days, probably weeks, to lay all of those spells down, effectively coding them each into the item to be enchanted. One after the other, the spells on physical objects had to be put down in a certain order, not unlike a file system being built up in... Sean blinked. Surely it couldn't be that easy. Pulling out a piece of paper in the classroom, he quickly sketched out an archiving program, or rather, an archiving spell, that would read everything off of an item starting from the top and work its way down to the bottom and create an archive of the object he was looking at. In effect, a tape archive file. A tarball. Looking it over, he examined it several times, and then, pointing it at the chain on his neck, he let it run and watched as an archive spell was created. It was massive compared to the other spells he'd learned so far, so pulling up his character sheet, he looked at his mental points. Where he'd had two before, he had three now, and he pumped them all into his memory stat to help with his spell retention abilities, and then, went back to look at what he'd created. Sean assigned it a name, Lichen Collar Tarball, and watched as his mind classified it. All he needed was an item to play it back into, and energy, of course. Right now, all of the commands and the spells were non-functional because he'd just made a stripped-down copy of them, just like an archive program made a compressed copy of a program which couldn't be run. How much energy would it take to play back this little tarball of his? Sean wasn't sure, but he suspected it would be more than he had, and the consequences of not having the energy weren't lost on him. They could be dire. Feeling someone tugging on him, Sean put it all away, and exiting his classroom, he opened his eyes. Jolene was smiling at him.
Hey, Stud. Feeling like a little recharging? She whispered in his ear.
Sean looked over at Roxy, who was still out like a light, as Jolene reached down and fondled him. Rolling over, Sean took Jolene's head in his hands and kissed her deeply as she spread her legs and guided him into her.
Somebody is needy, Sean whispered. Somebody not only needs a recharge, but they want to be reminded that you're still very much alive, Jolene murmured back between kisses.
Smiling, Sean started to move against her, when suddenly Jolene's eyes got wide.
What?
Sean asked, surprised.
Your energy. It's gone,
Jolene gasped.
Wait, what? I'm not getting anything from you. I can't even feel it.
Sean blinked.
Wait a moment.
Casting the spell to bring up his firewall controls only took an instant. It was only a few seconds more to add, Grant Jolene all to the permissions file. As an afterthought, he added Roxy as well.
Whoa! What happened?
Jolene gasped.
I opened a port in my firewall for you.
Sean chuckled and went back to kissing her and moving his body against hers.
Firewall?
Jolene asked, her legs coming up to wrap around his hips.
My new warding spell, Sean whispered.
Ooh, can I take a look?
Sean smiled down.
Of course you can. Then pick up speed. I need a bit more mana if I'm going to go looking inside your head. Such a slave driver,
Sean teased.
Mush,
Jolene giggled, kicking his butt with her heels. Sean leaned down to nibble Jolene's ear as he complied with her wishes. He still had the spell open, and looking at it, he could see her feeding off him, draining off his own mana. It was rather interesting to watch, because sex improved his vitality and disposition, fulfilling a primal need, so he was actually recovering mana at about half the rate she was draining it.
It's always like that,
Jolene whispered in his ear.
Ah, you're in my thoughts now, Sean chuckled.
Of course, I like it here. Your lust and love for me is so honest. It's refreshing. So that's your new spell?
Ooh, that's pretty neat.
Can I copy it?
Sean stuck his tongue in Jolene's ear, and she started to pant.
You can copy spells from someone's mind?
Sean whispered, a little surprised.
When they're sharing them like this? Of course. So, can I?
Of course you can, my hot little tantric sex pot. Maybe you can show me a few spells of your own?
You'd have to be in my mind to see them, and mind magic like mine is rare. Another reason why they all hate me.
I don't hate you,
Sean purred.
I don't hate you either,
Roxy added, and Sean felt Roxy's hands start to run all over Jolene's body as Roxy started in on Jolene's other ear with her tongue as well. Sean almost laughed as Jolene's body shivered, and she tightened down on him quite a bit, hastening the approach of his orgasm. He hadn't closed the spell yet, and suddenly he could see Roxy's energy joining the flow of his into Jolene. That piqued his interest rather severely, but before he could ask Jolene about it, he was there himself, shivering through his own release.
My turn,
Roxy said, as Sean finally wound down.
Oh, definitely, he laughed.
Pulling Roxy close, he started to kiss that nice hard body of hers, working his way down its length until he got to her sex, and then started in on her with his tongue. He'd need a few minutes to recover, but that didn't mean he couldn't please her until he did. Of course, Jolene joined in, and when Sean finally mounted Roxy, putting her legs over his shoulders as he made love to her a lot more physically than Jolene tended to prefer, he noticed once again the flow of energy from the two of them into Jolene. When Sean finally collapsed onto a very satisfied Roxy, who had her legs crossed behind his neck at this point, he pulled Jolene close as they all snuggled, and he shut the spell down.
"Is there any way you can send all that energy back to me?" Sean asked, catching his breath. "That is, what Roxy is giving you, as well as yours?"
Jolene gave a small nod.
"Of course. I did that to you last night, remember? But why?"
"Because I can make a copy of my necklace," Sean smiled. "And I want to make one for Roxy, but it takes a lot of energy, about twice what I've got myself, I'm guessing."
"What? I thought making one of those took weeks,"
Roxy asked.
"Yeah,"
Jolene agreed. "I found a shortcut," Sean sighed and nuzzled Roxy. "But it needs all the energy at once. Well, that and a good quality chain."
"So where's a jewelry store?"
Roxy purred happily.
"Boomtown is far enough away that hopefully no one is looking for us, and they got jewelry," Jolene said.
"Two things,"
Sean said. "First, we need something sturdy like what I'm wearing. They're not going to have that at Boomtown. We'd be better off getting a choker chain at Cabela's, and I don't think I'd survive giving something like that to one of my wives.
And the second?
We don't have a car."
"Oh."
"Yeah, oh." Roxy tapped Sean on the shoulder and unwrapped her legs from around his neck.
"Let me up."
Sean carefully untangled himself from Roxy and Jolene, and then watched as Roxy got out her phone and started messing with it. After a minute, Roxy smiled.
"There's a pawn shop not all that far from here. We can walk there and see what they got."
"What about food?" Sean asked.
"There are tons of food places around there, too."
"Sounds good to me, then."
Sean yawned and stretched. Then, getting up, he looked at his pants from last night.
"I think washing these is a lost cause."
"What about your backpack?"
Sean sighed and nudged it with his foot.
"Maybe I should have dropped it before I tried playing kamikaze. It's covered in blood and pretty badly shot up."
Bending over, he picked it up, and opening it, he dumped it out on the bed.
"Oh, my poor laptop,"
Sean sighed. "It had two bullet holes in it now." Pulling out his clothes, there was one pair of pants in the backpack. The other one was now burned up, along with several of his shirts. There were, however, two pairs of the canvas shoes, and one pair wasn't even shot up. As for his shirts, well, he had a t-shirt and a button-down shirt that were both the same color, so if he put them both on, hopefully the holes wouldn't be noticeable.
"Well, let's go shower. Then we can throw the rest of this out and figure out our car problems."
"Are we coming back here to enchant the necklace?"
Roxy asked.
"You know,"
Jolene said,
"there's a CVS right next door. Why don't we go there and see about buying Sean some shirts that don't look all shot up first?"
Roxy sat up straight.
"There's a convenience store here?"
"Yeah, why?"
"Do they sell, like, hair dye and makeup?"
Jolene grinned at her.
"Thinking about a makeover?" "Hell yes. If they can't scry him or track him, they have to identify him by looks."
"Well,
what if he no longer looks the same?"
Jolene stood up and started getting dressed.
"You two shower. I'll go get some makeup and hair dye."
By the time they were done showering, Jolene was back from the store and she tossed Roxy a box.
"I'll be in the shower. You can get started on that."
"Thanks,"
Roxy said, looking at it, and then at Sean.
Yeah. You'll look different as a blonde."
"Don't forget the eyebrows,"
Jolene warned.
"You're going to dye my hair?" Sean asked.
"Yep. Now grab a towel. This shouldn't take too long."
Sean shrugged, and getting a couple of towels, he sat down on a chair as Roxy went to work on him. An hour later, after he'd washed the dye out of his hair, and Jolene had used a pair of clippers on him, he was fairly blonde with a lot shorter hair.
"Here, wear these."
Jolene handed him a pair of lightly tinted glasses next.
"What are they?"
"Computer glasses. But they look enough like prescription ones that folks will think you need them. Now just a little makeup to make it look like you've got a small blemish on your left cheek, and there. No one will recognize you."
Sean stopped and looked in the mirror.
"Are you sure about this?"
"Most people looking for you will either be going by a description or a picture. Trust me,
You're not going to stand out. Now, I need to raid some of Roxy's clothes, and then we can get going.
Sean nodded and put on his pants, socks, and shoes. Jolene threw a large, oversized t-shirt at him, and he put that on instead of the button-down shirt he was thinking of wearing. Jolene had taken a razor to that shirt, and when she got done with it, she put it on, and it was rather hard for Sean to keep his eyes off of her.
They won't be looking at you if they're looking at me, she smiled. So, everyone ready?
Roxy asked, having cleaned up the mess in the room and stuffed everything they were trashing in Sean's backpack, while Sean had reloaded his two magazines. He'd need more ammo soon, and more magazines. Two definitely were not enough.
What's in the small sack, anyway?
Roxy asked, picking it up off the bed and tossing it to him.
A dozen gold coins, Sean said, catching it and putting it in his pants pocket.
That's gotta be about 20 grand right there.
Sean nodded.
Yeah, let's get going.
2 hours later, they were sitting in a fast food restaurant eating lunch. They'd found three heavy chains that would work, that were white gold. There were about a dozen more he could have used, but they were made out of silver, and Sean was quickly learning to avoid silver.